My name is Christine Cosmos. I am the Deputy Commissioner for the City of Chicago Department of Public Health Emergency Preparedness Program. I'm here with my colleague Suzette McKinney, who's our Director for Planning for the Public Health Preparedness Program for the City of Chicago, and Kevin Harvey, who is our Assistant Director at the UIC CADE School of Public Health. And what we wanted to do was talk to you a little bit today about a very innovative strategy that I think we've come up with, which I think, Angela, would solve a lot of your problems in Michigan, so listen carefully. And it's a very innovative strategy for teaching not only preparedness people, but non-preparedness people and volunteers about emergency preparedness, and in particular, about a particular strategy that we have in the City of Chicago, a CDC mandate, in fact, which is the Dispensing and Vaccination Center operation, or POD operation, as some jurisdictions call it. So I wanted to give you just a couple of minutes of background information, and then Suzette and Kevin will take it from there. But for those of you that are kind of familiar with public health preparedness programs, states and the directly funded big cities, which would be Chicago, New York, LA, and DC, were given a particular mandate by CDC. And that mandate was to develop strategies, develop a plan, and be able to implement a plan for what would you do if there was a large-scale bio attack in your jurisdiction. How would you either vaccinate or provide oral prophylaxis to your entire population within a 48-hour window of your decision to do so? So the scenario that they gave us was an anthrax release, a very large anthrax release around the City of Chicago, and to develop the plans, the capacities needed in order to provide medications to your entire population. So for the City of Chicago, that's 3 million people, and we would have to prophylax 3 million people within 48 hours. So you can imagine the issues associated with that. For the City of Chicago, like other states and jurisdictions, the Public Health Preparedness Program really is a very small operation. For the City of Chicago, our preparedness program within CDPH is really only about 80 people. So in order to pull off something like this, we would need to open up 55 dispensing centers around the City of Chicago in order to have enough of these dispensing centers to be able to prophylax our population within 48 hours. So 55 sites with 88 people within your program, obviously you're going to need to pull people in from your entire department, as well as in some jurisdictions, they've also decided to use volunteers. That's not our plan in the City of Chicago. We have a very big workforce. But you can imagine that 99% of the people that are going to be working in these 55 dispensing centers are either going to be non-public health trained, or if they are, they're not going to be emergency preparedness people. So we took that challenge very seriously, and I think what we're going to be able to demonstrate to you today is a way in which we've developed, which is a partnership again between CDPH and UIC, to be able to train our people, not only preparedness people, but non-preparedness people, in order for them to be competent by the time we open those doors for those dispensing clinics. And the way that we've decided to do that is through an online game, a simulation game, very similar to flight simulation school, I like to call it, where you get all the kinks out of the way and you train your workforce that's going to be needed in order to open up these pods or these dispensing centers so that they have decision-making capabilities and that they're competent in their roles, whatever those roles may be, and they can play with various roles. They will be competent before we open those doors, because as CDC has told us, if there ever was a large-scale anthrax release, we would need to prophylax our entire population within a very short window of time, or else there's excessive morbidity and mortality. So this was our challenge, and this was one of the ways that we addressed this challenge, which I think we'll be able to show you today how that's really been able to increase the competency of our workforce. So Suzette.
Thank you, Chris. So
So as Chris mentioned, and for those of you who know, for those of us that work in preparedness, there are a number of different threats that we work to address and plan for every day. But this particular game simulation is based upon an anthrax scenario where we would be providing oral prophylaxis to the citizens of Chicago. And basically the challenge for us that we decided to take on in order to develop a mechanism for training our staff was to develop sort of an online simulation of our dispensing and vaccination center and use that simulation to not only record our worker performance, but then provide an opportunity for them to be able to see where their skills were lacking and what types of training we needed to implement to improve their skills. Another challenge with this type of interface is that we needed it to be able to work on regular office computers and hence eliminate the need for specialized gaming computers. Now, again, as Chris mentioned, primarily this was going to be for not only our preparedness staff at the Chicago Department of Public Health, but other staff, other city staff, because we have a population of nearly 3 million people, and in order to pull off the type of operation that we would have to pull off to be able to prophylax our entire population in 48 hours, we would need roughly 19,000 staff people per day to get this done. So we're looking at somewhere from 20 to 50,000 people, city workers, needing training on how to run our DBC center. Once again, the charge is 2.9 million people in 48 hours, 19,000 workers a day. That's just a photo of our city. This is a quote from Biosecurity and Bioterrorism, the Biodefense Strategy, Practice, and Science. And for the most part, our local interpretation of this quote is, we need to figure out a way to get the pills in the people as fast as we can. And that's kind of the basis that we've taken for working toward that end. So previous solutions that we've used for training staff on how to run a DBC and work within a DBC are tabletop drills, which I'm sure many of you are familiar with, as well as live exercises and drills. But what we found with both tabletops as well as live exercises and drills is that, number one, not everybody gets to play. And number two, we can have tabletops and live drills every single day of the year and we would never get enough people to participate or to be able to participate that we would need in order to pull off this type of operation. So, as you might understand, it was extremely important for us to come up with an innovative solution where we could deliver training to an enormous number of people in a limited amount of time. So why did we select a game? We selected a game because it's a high level of engagement. You know, those of you that are parents who's, you know, you have children that are interested in video game technology, you see them sitting around and all you see is them doing this. But as an adult, if you've ever picked up one of these things, you can understand how your interest can really be captured. The other thing that we thought was that a video game, unlike a face-to-face type of training, would assist our staff in obtaining a high level of retention of what they were learning in the game. Because of the online format, it's easily distributable. They can access the game from home because we have a link where you can get to it from the web, but it's also built into our learning management system as a course. So they can log into the learning management system from wherever they are at a PC and be able to access the game. It's also easy to be updated, and as I mentioned, it's a part of our learning management system, so not only can we track compliance with the game, but we can also track competency and once again see where people are lacking in their skills and what type of training they need to focus on. As you will see, because Kevin has prepared some screenshots for us, the simulation game has the ability to generate reports so we can see just what type of skills are lacking, and then it's also appropriate to the audience because, as Chris mentioned, we are limited in terms of the number of preparedness staff that we have in our program, so we would be pulling staff from other city departments. So, Kevin, you want to talk a little bit about your screenshots?
Okay, well, this is just the login screen. You can play several roles in this game. So you can practice I think this, you may be called upon as one of the city workers to play any number of roles. So you can play the game through as a medical screener. You can go back and play the game as a forms reviewer or medical dispensing roles. Higher level games I'll talk about a little bit later. So there's a training module for the game. There's a didactic that's in the learning management system. So before you even get to the game, you've already learned what you should be aware of. And then you learn how to play the game. And then you actually play the game. So next screen. So here's the basic interface. And it consists of three main areas. You play, this is a face-to-face game, meaning you're playing the role of medical screener in this case. You have what's called a challenge, and that takes place right in the middle, a video challenge. You have standard questions, which are City of Chicago standard questions, but you may need to respond to the particular challenge in the yellow areas. Those are particular to the challenge. And then so there's the central action right in the middle, the video challenge. There's your communication, which is off to the right, which follows communication protocol based on incident command system. And then there's your supplies that you need to pay attention to at the bottom. Just a word about, this game is timed. So you have the people per hour. This is all about getting people through. And as you're playing the game, you can keep track of how well you're doing in terms of people per hour. There is a stress component to this game, and because what we're trying to accomplish here is a degree of stress. It's been shown through studies that through that stress created through the game, you have something called stress inoculation. People tend to perform better. So next screen. So the communication is, you have the challenge. You can call your captain, ask for assistance. When supplies start running low, you need to ask for those. Next screen. And there are the supplies on the bottom. Now, they slowly go down as you're playing the game. And if you are not aware of them, which you need to be in real life as well as in the virtual world, they'll start letting you know that you're running out of supplies and you won't be able to continue until you order those supplies. You do have multitasking during this game. Again, replicating the kind of multitasking you have to do in the situation. We do throw in the middle, pop quizzes, which have kind of a, I wish we could actually play the game here, because it has a kind of energetic music behind it, which gives you, again, that sense of urgency and reinforces the knowledge behind it. Next. After you're done the game, you can compare how you play to other players in the game. Next screen. And then you could view your individual case results along with your response and what the correct response should be. You can actually replay the scenario. Yeah. Again, I wish I could show you some of the actual video challenges, which were done by professional actors. You can click on the cases you miss, replay the scenario, and do some remediation or play the game completely over again. Same thing with the scoring on each of the pop quizzes. Next. And then just briefly, some of the other roles are replaying the game and reviewing forms to make sure that they're correct and finding the places in those forms that need to be corrected. You also have the same kind of face-to-face personal challenges in those roles along with correcting the forms. Next. And then we have a dispensing role where you have to determine based on weight, age of the people coming in, based on the forms, you have to compute what kind of what you need to dispense in that game. And you actually can bring up a chart that shows the actual dispensing chart and determine that. So, and we recently did an evaluation of this game. We don't have the full results in on the evaluation. Do you want to talk a little bit about that?
Sure. So what we wanted to do was try to evaluate this game using a population of our staff that for the most part had essentially the same level of training. So we used 65 public health nurses from the Chicago Department of Public Health, whom we all know would serve the role of clinical coordinator in a dispensing or vaccination center for us. They were randomized into a number of different groups where some of them received both a face-to-face training as well as the video game. Some received only the game. Some received only the face-to-face. The game group completed a computer skills self-assessment. Once again, they got the didactic training from the game itself, training on the game. They were able to play the game, and then they received a post-test as well as a satisfaction survey. With the face-to-face group, they got some of the same training as the game group, except No didactic for them, no game training, and they did their gameplay with just 30 minutes of face-to-face training. So, as Kevin mentioned, we have not gotten all of the data back with regards to the evaluation. What we have seen so far in the data that has been analyzed is that the game has been just as effective at increasing knowledge about the DBC as the face-to-face training, even among a population that has a fairly low level of skill using computers or this type of technology with computers. We also polled some of the nurses just to get some of their general comments and feedback about the game, and this is what some of them had to say, that the game was practical and useful and an excellent teaching tool. We found that a lot of them felt as though it held their interest. As Kevin mentioned, it required the screener to multitask because you have people presenting to you. You have communications with security and your station captain, as well as your forms and your other supplies depleting, so quite a bit of multitasking going on. And then the last comment was simply that it was fun. So, you know, I think with some of those types of comments, we have achieved some of the results that we wanted to achieve. Now, because we didn't have internet connectivity in this room, we weren't able to show the actual interface, but the game is available for people to play for free. You can go to this website and play it for free. Also, if you go by the CADE booth, the Center for the Advancement of Distance Education, at the Washington Convention Center, they have computers set up there, and you can play the game at their booth, and Kevin will be there at the booth assisting with that.
521.
Booth 521. Thank you, Kevin. Thank you.